If we are honest, when we look around at this world, when we look around at mankind, we must admit this is not how life is supposed to be. Any honest observer, considering the darkness of the last century, from the devastations of war and the evils of genocide, of concentration camps, to the petty, small, selfish evils of daily life. Anyone who is honest has to conclude there is more at work here than simple brutality as you would find in nature. There is more at work here than what we see in the natural world. There is something deeper, something darker, something is amiss in our world, in our country, in our communities, in our families. Something is amiss in ourselves. And Christians have a name for this condition. We call this original sin. The 20th century theologian Reinhold Niebuhr once famously said that original sin is the only empirically verifiable Christian teaching. Look around. You don't have to be even a believer to see it at work all throughout the world. And today's Old Testament from the book of Genesis shows us the immediate aftermath of this power, of this force being unleashed on the world in the earliest days of man. When we rejected the commandment of God, when we determined for ourselves we would be the judge of good and evil, we would determine what is right and wrong, Genesis shows us what happens when we seek to judge good and evil for ourselves. The end is always shame, fear, and alienation. Just a couple of verses before our reading, after man and woman had eaten of the fruit, Genesis says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked." Later, when the man is questioned, he responds to the Lord God, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked." But you see, they had always been naked. But something was different now. Something was different. Now they didn't trust the God who made them. Now they didn't trust each other. Now they weren't willing to be vulnerable to the God who made them or to each other. You see, we have a desire deep within us to be open. To be open to others. Think about the joy you get. I mean, it's a small taste of this, but think about the joy you get when you sit down with a group of close friends and are able to be open with them, able to let your guard down, able to be free and unself-conscious. Think about the joy you get when you can sit down and the facade comes down and you can be yourself. Don't you see? That's how you were meant to be with the God who made you. That's how you were meant to be with each other. Even in those moments with our friends, even in those moments where we may feel most free, most unself-conscious, yet even in those moments we know we hold back thoughts. We hold back words. Even in those moments, we're not completely free. We're not completely vulnerable. And yet that's how you were made to be with the God who made you. Think about this for a moment. Consider. There are two relationships in this life where the barrier to nakedness is removed. There are two relationships where we are willing to be naked and vulnerable and not afraid, child to parent, and husband and wife. I don't think it's a coincidence that those two relationships are also the very same two images that the scriptures use to describe our relationship to the living God. Child to father, and bride to husband. You were meant to be open. You were meant to be known. But sin introduced something. Sin introduced fear and shame. First, it introduced fear. It introduced fear between us and the God who made us. We can't be that way with God because of fear. Fear in front of Him. Fear because we know our rebellion means judgment. Fear because we know that we've unleashed chaos on ourselves and the world. So there's fear. But there's also shame. Shame when we come face to face with each other. Because you see, now I can't trust you as the man and woman were meant to trust each other. Now I can't trust you. Because if we're judging right and wrong for ourselves, if we're judging good and evil for ourselves, I can't trust you. And yet within me, I have a deep desire to be loved and to be known. And yet also my heart tells me if they knew you, they wouldn't love you. We want to be known, and yet our heart tells us you can't be known. If they knew you, if they knew your thoughts, if they knew your actions, they couldn't love you. Since our beginning, we've tried to deal with it, and we see this in our readings. We've tried to deal with it. We've tried to first clothe ourselves. Genesis tells us the man and woman, upon realizing they were naked, sew fig leaves. We try to clothe ourselves. With God, it comes in the form of trying to save ourselves. With others, it comes in the form of trying to fix ourselves. If I could just fix myself, if I could just make myself right, then I can be open, then I can be vulnerable with others. When that doesn't work, we hide. We hide as man did. We hide in the garden, hoping the Lord God won't find us. We refuse to face Him. With God, that means a refusal to face His teaching, a refusal to face what He demands of us, a refusal to face Him. With others, it means pushing them away. We don't want to be found out, and so we push and push and push away. But lastly, when those don't work, when we can't clothe ourselves, when we can't fix ourselves, when we can't save ourselves, when we can't hide, we can accuse. When man is confronted with his evil, his only response is, "This woman whom you gave me to be with me." At one sentence, accusing both the woman and God who gave him the woman, he accuses. With God, it sounds like today words like, "How could a loving God allow dot, dot, dot?" If there were a God, how could he do this? Accusation. With others, instead of dealing with our own weaknesses, our own brokenness, we would much rather accuse and point and look at others. And in each of these ways, from the beginning of man to this day, We have tried to deal with the fact that we are naked and ashamed. That we want to be known, we want to be loved, but we know that we are not lovely. We know that if we are known, how could we be loved? Genesis shows us what it looks like when our rebellion takes root, but it also shows us that there is hope. It also shows us that there is a hope, a deep hope we have. Man and woman are told that one day the seed of woman will crush the serpent. One day the child of woman will destroy the serpent's power. But if that weren't enough, Genesis goes beyond this and tells us how. How will the seed of woman crush the serpent's head? How will this child of man destroy the power of the enemy? And it tells us in a small little detail, easy to skip over. In fact, so easy to skip over that the compilers of our lectionary thought it not important enough to include in the verses for today. But if you skip just a few verses later in Genesis, as man and woman are sent out of the garden, sent out because of their sin, sent out because of their rebellion, we're told this in verse 21. The Lord God made for the man and his wife garments of skin with which he clothed them. God clothed them. You see, we couldn't simply go back to innocence. We couldn't simply turn back the clock and go back to being naked, to being vulnerable. We had to be given something. We had to be clothed. But notice, God didn't just clothe them. He clothed them with skins. Now that's an important detail for this reason. Animals do not typically give over their skins voluntarily. This verse is the first mention of death in all of the scriptures. It's the first shedding of blood in all of the scriptures. And it's to clothe man. From here on out in the Old Testament, death will be required to deal with sin and shame. From here on out, sacrifice will be required. In a sense, this is the first sacrifice. The first time when an animal shed its blood so that the relationship between man and God would be restored. From here on out, death will be required. From here on out, to clothe you, something will have to die. And that truth echoes throughout the scriptures, that to clothe you, blood must be shed. Dealing with shame and fear, the shame and fear we have before the living God requires the shedding of blood. Dealing with the hostility and fear that we have with each other requires the shedding of blood. But the author of the letter to the Hebrews would one day write that it was not the blood of bulls and goats that could accomplish it. St. Paul would one day write to the Galatians, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ like a garment. You see, the gospel says to clothe you with glory and immortality, the Son of God had to be stripped. To bring you into paradise, God's Son had to be, as the psalmist says, cut off from the land of the living. To bring you back to the tree of life, he had to ascend the tree of death in the valley of the shadow of death. Nothing else will do. We can't accuse our way out of it. We can't clothe ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't hide. God, the living God, had to clothe us, and he did it. Not with bulls and goats, but at the cost of his son. I'll leave you with these words from the English priest poet George Herbert in his work, The Sacrifice. In the poem, it's the Lord Jesus himself going to his passion who is speaking. O all ye who pass by, behold and see. Man stole the fruit, but I must climb the tree. The tree of life to all, but only me. The Son of God himself climbed the tree of death so that he might make it for us the tree of life. In a few moments, we will taste its fruit once again. And by this fruit, we will live.